teaching is for. Say, this is what the Word of God says, and this is what it means. This is the way you should be going. Doesn't matter which way you are going, this is the way you should be going. That's what preaching and teaching and exhorting and all that is about. Say, this is what God says, and this is what you ought to be doing. I heard John R. Rice say one time, and he said it a lot of times. No, I just had that. It's gone. It's because I'm getting old. I know you don't like the way I do it, but I like the way I do it better than the way you don't do it. That describes us pretty well, doesn't it? He was just...
Can you repeat that?
No. I like the way I do it better than the way you don't do it. Is that good enough? Okay, it wasn't exactly the same. Okay. Ye are the salt of the earth. Let's turn to Matthew 5. Matthew 5:13. Since we claim to be Bible believers in this church mostly, would you say? We say that everything that we do and everything we plan is because the Word of God says it. And if that be the case, then Mr. Berry's message Wednesday was very appropriate. Where do you get your direction from? Where do you get your encouragement from? Where do you get your correction from? The Word of God is all those things. And if you don't go there, you don't have correction, you don't have exhortation, you don't have any of those things. What do you have? You have what you think. If you have what I think, you're in a mess. If you have what you think is you're in a mess. Matthew 13, ye are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Let's have a word of prayer quickly. Father, we thank you for your word and thank you for the place we have to meet. I pray you just give us something today from your word that will help us to serve you better. In Jesus' name, amen. Christian is salt and light. Remember, notice it says, and I take the Bible literally, because it says, ye are the salt of the earth. What does it say? Ye are the light of the world. If you are not salt and light in your friends and your neighbors and your family's life, there is no salt and light. Ye are. It's not a choice. Well, maybe I'll be salt today. No, you are. You are the salt that is in the earth. You are the flavoring. You are the different things salt does. You are the light. If you're not there, there is no light. If Don, if you don't show up today, there will be no light there. If you're not prepared, there will be no salt there. All those people that he said, most of them which are lost, they're going to continue being lost. They're not. There's no possible chance, unless there's salt and light there today, that they are going to have things changed. There's a lot of different kinds of salt. Who likes salt? Everybody raise their hand. Who shouldn't have a lot of salt? Everybody else raises their hand. Wesley raises both hands.
I like sugar better.
It's not any better for you. There's salt. There's regular table salt. Everybody knows what table salt is. Then there's rock salt. I like pink Himalayan salt. You know what that even is? It's really salty, isn't it? If you're not careful with that stuff, you're not going to be able to eat what you put it on. I like that. I like the flavor of it. Just as a side note, kind of a health note, if you're using salt, get yourself some fresh salt. Don't use the salt that's been in the salt shaker for a year. It's not salty anymore. Salt deteriorates over time. You take it out of the mine and immediately it starts to DJ or whatever it is.
Savor,
very good. Deteriorate is the word, yes. Immediately it does. I mean, a year from now, the salt that's in your salt shaker will have almost no salt flavor. And you're going to have to put 3 or 4 times as much on there. So you get all that sodium and no flavor. Now, if you take some of that coarse pink Himalayan salt, very salty to start with, grind it very fine, put it on, you only need a tiny bit. So you only get a little bit of salt, a little bit of sodium, you're much healthier. Okay, that's all, that was free. No charge for that.
Amen.
To be of any use, salt cannot remain in that salt shaker. What good is it? I have lots of salt in salt shakers. You have salt in salt shakers? Does it do you any good if it's on the shelf? We in the back and behind, right about here, there's a whole tray full of salt shakers. Is that doing anybody any good right now? No. How about all the salt that's in the boxes at Food Lion? Not doing anybody really get it out of the container and actually use it. It has to be exposed to people's tongues, exposed to things. But salt also. Eat this. Everybody laughs. Yeah. It's easy to do, isn't it? Easy to do. A flashlight that goes out. You know what I do with a flashlight that I'm using and goes out? If you know me at all, it's gone. Only goes out one time and it's gone. Because what good is a flashlight that goes out? You go in your closet and pull the string on the light and it doesn't go on. What good did that light do? It's of no value at all. I mean, it's of less value than if it wasn't there because you know it was going to be dark. You would have taken a flashlight. No, you were planning on it being there. If we came this morning and for some reason or other, pastors decided to read out of the old Reader's Digest instead of preaching, we would have no salt here. Now, that's not going to happen. Don't worry. I don't think it's going to happen. Oh, he's using the New Reader's Digest. He's making little jokes at the bottom. You know, you wonder why his jokes aren't funny, because that's where he gets them from. Salt, what does salt do? It preserves things. It purifies things. And it's good. Tastes good. That's what salt is good for. Every cook needs some basic spices. We have lots of spices. We have a spice rack. We have a whole shelf. Actually, we have 2 shelves in our pantry of spices. We have lots of spices. I don't know how to use most of them. I don't even know what they are. Marcia knows how to use all of them. So. But salt is, every cook uses salt. It's right there on the grill. I go to a lot of restaurants and do some installs there. And there's always a big container of salt, either a bowl of salt that they throw on the grill, or there's always salt there. There may not be ever always be marjoram. I don't even know what marjoram tastes like. I know what you do with it, but I don't know what it tastes like, really. There's all kinds of salt, or all kinds of spices. And you use these spices to what? Get a specific flavor in food. You use just the right amount of salt to make your steak taste good. Not too much. If there's not enough on there, I had an egg this morning. I try to stay away from salt, like everybody does. Could I eat that egg without salt? Oh. It's just, there's no flavor to it. I love avocados. You like avocados? Some people don't like avocados. Can you eat an avocado without any salt on it? It's just, I don't know, it changes the texture of it. It's just, you got to have some salt on it. You can't put sugar on it. Sorry, Wesley, you can't put sugar on an avocado. I guess you could, but. I guess that's probably it. How many avocados did you eat this week, Wesley? Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll leave it at that. You are the salt and you are the light. There's no other salt. If God's work is going to be accomplished, it's going to be because you are the salt, you are the light, and if you're not, God's work is not going to be accomplished. So that's simple. Now, he may find someone else, and he probably will find someone else, but your influence, your reward, the possibility of changing someone's heart because of your presence, because of your example, because of what you said or what you did, is not going to happen. Salt preserves. What do you do with a ham? It's salty. If the ham is not salty, do you even want to eat it? There's something wrong with this. You cut yourself a slice of ham and you taste it and there's no saltate flavor to it. Would you even eat it? I probably wouldn't eat it if it claimed to be a ham. Back in in the Bible times, people knew what salt was good for, much more than we do now. There was no refrigeration, we knew that. There was no refrigerators. There was no preservatives. There was no modern canning and sealing bags, and they didn't even have Ziploc bags. How would you live without Ziploc bags? I mean, that's really difficult. Man. They knew how to use salt. Salt preserved things. If we're going to have a country, we can just go ahead and sing, I love America, God bless America, and don't be the salt and don't be the light. What's going to happen? There is no salt and light. If you think back to Sodom and Gomorrah, we'll talk a little bit more about them in a minute maybe, but Sodom and Gomorrah would still be there today perhaps if there would have been how many righteous people? Ten. Enough to be called a city. From historical records, that area was quite densely populated. If there be but 10, there wasn't 10. Sodom and Gomorrah weren't preserved, weren't saved. How many did it take in this country before God said, okay, that's it? I don't know what the number is. But if all righteousness is gone from this country, except for you, and that's very reasonable, except for you and maybe a few other people, could he find 10 or whatever the number would be? I don't know. Salt preserves. Salt purifies. Ever had a finger that looked like that? I've had several that looked like that. One day I was working at a machine shop and I was working on a lathe, and I'm an idiot, everybody knows it, so I just admit it. And I took my finger while that lathe was running. It wasn't running fast. It was cutting a piece of aluminum, and I pushed it over the blade. And yeah. And so that tool went whoosh, just about cut my finger right down the middle there. And my finger looked like that. Now, I've had all kinds of cuts like that. Not so many that I had to have sewed up. But if you take and you put an injury like that in a cup of salt water, what happens? It looks like that, all white like that, because it takes all the impurities out. If you've got a really bad sore throat, what's the first cheapest thing to do? Go get some salt water. If you've got a bad tooth, what do? Put some salt in. It draws all that junk out. Salt purifies. It makes it clean. Now, Don, we'll be praying for you this afternoon that you'll go and you'll be able to purify some that whole environment. You'll be able to input and say, this is what God says, and his word will cause purification. Take away some of the rebellion against God. I'm going to go on. Salt pleases. Now, we all like some kind of food. I happen to like grilled salmon, and Marcia happens to like a rare steak. Take your pick. Carol doesn't like rare steak. She likes medium well, right? But without salt, that salmon is bland. Without salt, that meat is going to probably be pretty tough. It's not going to be tender at all. It's going to be missing something. If you make this big, wonderful casserole and don't put any salt in it and put it on the table, the kids are going to say, "Ooh, what'd you do to this?" It's not what you did do, it's what you didn't do with it. Salt pleases. It makes it so that whatever you have, whatever you're eating, this is really good. Why is it we like pizza so much? Because there's so much salt in there that it tries to kill you at each bite. Why do you like mozzarella cheese or a lot of cheeses? Because they're so salty. You don't even notice that they're salty, but there's so much salt in there that this is really good. Like Wesley with sugar. Wesley's always handing out candy. Did you notice that?
Hey, listen, Rick, I'm on a diet. But I did have a donut this morning, but I didn't have the sprinkles on it.
Extra powdered sugar, no sprinkles. Good. Open to Job chapter 6. You'd be amazed, and we can't go through the whole Bible and find all the references to salt, but there's a whole bunch of references to salt. It's important. Job chapter 6, verse 6. Job 6, 6. I'm just bringing this up so it's not me just saying that eggs are yucky without salt. Job 6, 6. Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? Salt does have to be used appropriately. But you have to have some salt. Your body has to have salt to function. If there's no salt, you will die. If you don't have any salt, sir. That the taste of a marshmallow—that kind of loses the whole point of the thing. Anybody ever put salt on marshmallows? I'm just wondering. They're sweet and savory. I understand that. I guess that kind it would be, but that, you know, whatever. You have to use just the right amount of salt. You can't use too much. You can't use too little. In the same way, our influence as a Christian has to be under the constant control of not the cook, but of the Lord. If your output, if your exposure to other people is not under control of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Word of God, then you are going to offend people. Because then you're telling what you think. You may offend them anyway, but if they are offended, it's because the Lord offended them, and that's just the way it's going to have to be. They're going to have to answer to him. Often we get in more trouble just because we used too much salt. When people are first become Christians, that happens very often. You get so excited. You get you want to beat this into their head, whether they like it. You're going to listen to me if it kills you. And in about 5 minutes, they're ready to kill you, you know. Leave me alone. Don't tell me about this anymore. Turn to Isaiah 50. Isaiah 50, verse 4. Isaiah 50. The Lord has to have control of what we do and what we say. Isaiah 50. This is not Bible drill like you do in seventh grade, because when you do, asked who's first. Quick, stand up and read that. Isaiah 50. The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Where did you get that word from? It came from the Lord. That's what, how you know how much salt should I apply. How much of the Word of God should I give to this person? How much pressure should I put on them? How many times should I ask them? How many? I don't know. The Lord knows. And he'll put that. He didn't say, I want the Lord to give me. No, he said, the Lord hath given me. Isaiah said, the Lord gave me this. The Lord told me to say these things. I've kind of in the middle of a study on, and it's, I found that this is a really, really expansive, long study of finding the times that God actually spoke to, not that a prophet said something that the Lord said, but the Lord came and told Moses, thus do this. Came and told Peter this. What are the number of times and what were the occasions and what did they say? These are words that God actually spoke into. I don't know how God speaks to men. I know how he speaks to me. I don't know how he spoke to Moses. I don't know how he heard it. God's a spirit. Moses was not a spirit, so I don't know how that all works. But it says that God spoke to Moses. God spoke to Abraham. And we could go on through all the prophets. God gave this word. Very interesting study, but I found that it's way too long. There's too many times. But the Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season. And then in Proverbs 15:23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Salt pleases. Salt is the thing that really gives food and gives life flavor. We're going to have to go quickly through light, and that's not as long. All kinds of light, all kinds of light bulbs. It's not so difficult now, but 15 years ago, you could not just go and get a light bulb. Because there's so, what kind of base are you going to use? What size bulb are you going to use? Is this bulb going to be too big for the use? I had to replace a bulb in we have a room where our refrigerator's in. It was a 200 watt bulb. It was that big around, 200 watts. It was last made in 1945. So it had been in that house since 1945. Big bulb. Couldn't replace it. I had to replace the whole fixture and everything because you could not replace this. And one of those big old module bases. All kinds of bulbs. There's all kinds of Christians. Don's not like me, and I'm really thankful for that. He'd be messed up. I pick on Don because he can take it. I don't pick on Oliver because he gets... I pick on everybody, be honest about it. All these bulbs have a different use. They're for a different purpose. You get these little tiny night lights that go off when the light's on, and they turn on when the lights are off. Those are neat, aren't they? What's their purpose? Just so you can see a little bit. We've got these big, long strip lights, a tremendous amount of light that... what are they for? So you can see a lot. I got spotlights. What are those for? Because I've got this little thing here that I want everybody to see, or I want to see. Got flashlights. What are they for? Because they're portable. They go around. You can see different things in different places at different times, and you can turn it off and carry it in your pocket with you. Can't carry that fluorescent light with you. You can carry the flashlight with you. Wouldn't do you any value at all to carry one of those bulbs in your pocket. Take that out and hold it up over underneath your dash of your car. See? Totally useless. Every one of them is completely useless, however, until the power's turned on. Take that flashlight and hold it under the dash. Don't turn the switch on. What happens? Nothing. There's no batteries in it. You didn't pay your electric bill and you go and turn that switch on. Or whatever reason the power's not on. What good is that light? It's of no value to you, whatever. Unless you as a Christian are hooked up to the power, your light is of no value, whatever. You could stand there and tell truth after truth after truth and fill Bible verse after Bible verse after Bible verse and say, thus saith the Lord, but guess what? The Lord didn't say that to me. I thought that. I think this is what he said, and I think this is what he meant. Unless you have that same message that Isaiah said, the Lord gave me this message and I'm giving it to you. Unless you have that, you may as well just be quiet. Is it my message that I want you to hear? Well, I probably do. Pride and all that stuff, you know. But it's the Lord's message that you need. You don't need my message. You need the Lord's message. You need the light that God provided through you. And I don't know what kind of light you are, but you're some kind of light. You say, ye are the light. Maybe you're a flashlight. I don't know. That would be Mr. Humbert. He is everywhere. Doesn't matter where you, it doesn't matter when you come here, he's you can look down the hallway. He's probably down there running. You can keep up with him? Not a chance. Nobody can keep up with him. If you come in the middle of the day, probably pastor's up in his office studying, probably, or doing something. That's what he does. What do you do? What is your function as a light? Light attracts. You've been driving up Route 17 and you can, just driving north, what do you see at nighttime? You see Chesapeake, all kinds of lights up there, and you look behind and you see this little dim light, which is Elizabeth City, and you look off to the west and what do you see? Nothing. You ever been driving and you see these bright lights over off to the side of the road? You say, I wonder what that is. Probably a baseball game going on in the middle of the night. Light also repels. That burglar, the light got turned on and he runs. I don't want any part of being, I don't want to be seen. I don't want to be associated with whatever this is here. As a Christian, we sometimes cause people to turn and go the other way. The Word of God does that sometimes. Why? Because men would rather have darkness. The Book of Romans tells us all about that. They'd rather have darkness than light. You can do a whole study on just that if you wanted to. Light requires a source. By this time in the message, in your experience, you probably know the Word of God is our power. It is our light. It is our salt. Don't bother trying to give out your own light. Don't bother trying to give out your own salt. You may look really intelligent. You might look foolish. You might look who knows what way. But do we want the light and the salt to do the thing that God wants done in that other person's life? Or do you want it just to show how smart you are? Do you want it to see God work in that person's life? Do you want to see God change that person's heart? Or do you want to see them just go ahead and remain and think, he really brought a good message. Now, Brother Barry brought a really good message Wednesday. If you weren't here to receive it, or if you couldn't be, for whatever reason, it's online. All of our messages, we try to get online as soon as the service is over. If you're not sure how to get access to those, come and see Bruce or myself, and we'll show you how. And if you are not capable of getting online for whatever reason, we make CDs with the message on it. We'll even show you how to play those if you have trouble with that. Don't miss a message that you have opportunity to listen to. The thing about salt and light in the Word of God is that both of them are intended to make a difference. Our theme, was it 2 years ago, make a difference? That's not the exact word. What was the... making a difference. That was our theme a couple years ago. Salt and light will make a difference in your house. It'll make a difference in your life. It'll make a difference in your testimony. Definitely makes a difference in your food. You ever tried to cook and the light's out? Well, you can do it, but not easy to do. It's hard to even make. I wouldn't bother. I just eat peanut butter with a spoon. I don't bother with the bread in it. You know, God has given us the privilege and responsibility of representing Him. That's a huge responsibility and a huge privilege. The one that said, "Let there be light," is the one that wants you to be light for Him. The one that separated the land from the waters, and He's the one that wants you to be salt for Him. That's amazing. I don't understand that. I don't have to understand that. It's a good thing because I don't understand that. Let's allow God's word to make a difference in our lives so that we can make a difference, make the difference that God wants in that person that you are speaking with. Allow Him to be the light. Ask Him to, "Lord, I don't know what to do here. I don't know what their problems are." You know, the problem that we see in people probably isn't the problem. The grand solutions that we come up with probably isn't the solution that they need. Does God know what solution is needed? Did He give Isaiah to say? Did He give Jeremiah the words to say? Does He give you the words to say? Sure does. Gives a whole book of words to say. You can't go wrong when you open the Word of God saying, "God, help me to make a difference in someone's life today." Salt and light, both will make a tremendous difference in anybody's life, yours or somebody else. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You that You do use us, that You give us opportunity after opportunity to be salt and light, to be the thing that You want most in people's lives, is to turn to You and to trust You. Lord, just ask that You would be with us in the services today, keep distractions down, give Pastor clarity of thought. We thank You that he's back safely. Be with the rest of us, the activities of the day, that everything would honor and glorify You in Jesus' name. Amen.